was. Because I want to encourage my brethren. I want to refresh you, and I think that's part of the reason why we gather together after partaking the Lord's Supper, and we have the encouragement we see in Scripture where study from God's Word was given. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to refresh if I can, and I want myself to be refreshed by simply studying together and looking into God's Word. And I think that's a blessing we have here on the first day of the week and as often as we gather together. So I want to do that this morning from the book of Psalms. And again, I knew William loves Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature as we define it today from God's Word. And it is that. It's God's wisdom. Proverbs, Psalms, and Ecclesiastes, it really directs you to the mind of God and what God wants for each and every one of us, so much so that even in the book of Psalms, as we'll get to in the end of our lesson, Psalms should drive us and direct us to the mind of Christ. It should drive us and direct us to what God really wants from each and every one of us, and that is to be obedient through Christ. So I want us to kind of focus with that in mind this morning when we study Psalm chapter 1. Again, we'll look at this book, and as you look at the name Psalm there, the actual Hebrew name for this book is Sefer Tehillim, which actually means the book of praises. Some have translated the root word there from Tehillim, the Hall or the Hallel there, and you may or may not be familiar with these words and studied them before, but the root word there of praise is, in one instance, to move briskly, to irradiate, to shine. And when you think about praise, you don't normally think about shining and irradiation and light. But think about that when we study this book here in Psalm chapter 1. Also, the word there, halal, signifies praise and praise arising from gratitude. It arises from expression of inward joy, and it's often exhibited by brisk notes, by sprightly music. That's the term that we're thinking about when we think about the book of Psalms. It's what it means, the actual word, the book of praises. And when we go into the study, let's focus on that and think about that. When you get there, when you consider those words there that we just talked about, looking into the truth of God's Word, I don't think it's coincidence that Psalm chapter 1 is the first book of Psalms. And this is one of those eye-popping moments for me, and maybe you already know this and have studied it, but when you go into the book of Psalms, you have clear-cut decisions, black and white, about what God sees as right and what God sees as wrong, and the path that men should take, the path that His creation should take. And when they don't take it, you see the folly, you see the ruin that happens there. So I don't think when we get to Psalm chapter 1, it's a coincidence. This is the very first book. Look there with me in the first verse alone. In the very first part of that first verse, it tells us, "Blessed is the man." Now when you consider that, think about that for a minute. Blessed is the man. That really means there in that first verse that a man can be blessed. If you look and you consider the world and all the evil and the terrible nature of the hearts of men today, it's continued that way since the beginning of time, even though every generation thinks to itself, how bad can it get? Well, it's only going to get worse, and that's the way it is with each generation. So really and truly, the profound things that make an impact in our life, the terrorist acts, the complete ruination of some men that go and do perverse things and seek after perverse ways, you know, it's continued throughout generations. So really and truly, the calling through that is for God to tell us in His Word, come out from among that. Be separate, saith the Lord. And in these books of Psalms, there's no difference from that. When you see that, blessed is the man, remember and know and be refreshed in the fact that you are being spoken to. You can be blessed. Going on from that, when you consider the whole book of Psalms and the wisdom literature, the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, as I noted before, God's Word is serious and clear about there being right and wrong, black and white. And so many people, as it has been throughout each generation, say, you know, really, you can't know black and white. There is no black and white. There's only gray and how you look at it and how I look at it. Well, that's not so with God's Word. And God's Word is actually quite clear if you go on through the rest of that to tell you, you're not blessed if you go this way. You're not going to be blessed in my sight as your Creator if you take this approach. And that's the way that I want to look at the rest of Psalms. For the sake of time, we're not going to have time to go through the whole book of Psalms. But when you study, when you get time to look at the book of Psalms, consider that. And know the very beginning of that book tells you that you can be blessed if you choose God's ways. But on the contrary, the very first verse there again, it gives three examples of how you're not going to be blessed, of how you're not going to rest in God's grace and mercy if you go this path. Look with me there in the first verse after he says, "Blessed is the man." He'll spell out there, "who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." And just like almost every other list, you know, it's not conclusive like, this is it, this is the will of God. But we only have some general terms, it seems, to where God's saying, all right, this man is not going to rest, that man's not going to rest. And it's right to take that approach in some regards. But I think there's some other things being mentioned there that we need to take note. And there's a progression, there's a movement that's being talked about here that sometimes we overlook, to where we need to be careful about how we handle God's Word. So that when you see, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, that's the starting point. That's what I was trying to say earlier. There is the starting point for Psalms, for Proverbs, for Ecclesiastes, for the entire book of God's Word, the Bible. The one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You think about that for a minute. And think about the progression of how our life is lived. You know, when you start out young, you learn to walk. You learn to move. And you actually start before you learn to walk. You learn to stand up, or you learn to crawl. Or you learn to look and speak. Some of the parents here, they can relate to that and know. And some of the other parents who've had children who might also now have grandchildren, they know. And all of us know, when you're a child, you start to walk. That's one of the first things you do. Well, as one of God's creatures, as certainly one of God's blessed in Christ, that should be our same focus as well. You walk in the Lord. God's Word would say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, when He's talking to the Ephesians there, He would say that we should henceforth no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Well, what does that mean? He's telling the Ephesians, you don't need to walk like the rest of the world. He'd also go on later to say in chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, that we as Christians need to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. And then later on in Colossians chapter 1, Paul would be telling the Colossians there to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk. Move toward God. Well, the counsel that we see and the counsel that we understand from God's Word there in Psalm chapter 1 would tell us, when you start to walk away from that, and when your walking takes you to the ungodly, you won't be blessed. When you move in that direction, when you consider and you look and you see, as 1 John chapter 2 talks about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life there in verse 16. That's not the wisdom that's from God. That's not what God wants. Don't look at things with a worldly mind. When you start to move in that progression, when you start to walk toward the counsel of the ungodly, you lose all blessing in God. You lose all focus from what God wants you to be. And again, it's such a great passage to start out with when you're considering God's Word and God's wisdom. Because all people want to be blessed, really, when it comes down to it. But most people don't know how. They don't know the way. And that's part of our responsibility. And that's definitely what God's Word is trying to show. This is the way. This is how you will reach fulfillment in this life. This is how you will reach fulfillment in the next. And without it, there's no other way. So continuing on forward, Psalm also says in Psalm chapter 14, 1 through 5, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Let that not be said about us. Let that not be said about those we might be joining up against or considering, hey, that guy's my friend, I like him, I'll spend more time around him. That's definitely one way we walk toward the ungodly. But consider that the ungodly could counsel us in many ways. Where do we see the ungodly appear in our life? Where is it? Well, I think as we mentioned earlier in 1 John chapter 2, it begins with us. When we choose to walk after the ways of the world, when we look at something and it appeals to us and we decide to go after it. Also, when we have pride in our hearts, when we go after the things that we think are important to us, and neglect the things of God? Proverbs 7 talks, I think, at length about a certain instance for this. And certainly in Proverbs 7, we could go back and look at it this time, but go back and study that. And it talks about the ways of the crafty harlot, But it also mentions the man who is foolish and he doesn't look at where he's going. He walks about at nighttime and he should not even be doing that. He shouldn't even be in that section of town. But go back and look at Proverbs chapter 7, and that's certainly a man who is not blessed. He's not seeking after the good things. He doesn't even care to seek after the good things. Apply that to us today. The world is calling for us to go after it. The world is calling to us, like that crafty harlot who caught the man in Proverbs 7, to tell us to come and enjoy these things. We've got to be above that if we want to be that blessed man that Psalm 1 talks about. You think about also the other people who are around us daily, who barrage us daily with, come to me, come this way and seek and learn. You think about the scientists and the philosophers and the wise. You know, Paul talks about the wise in 1 Corinthians and tells, you know, the wisdom of this world is foolishness, but the foolishness in Christ is far greater. And that's what I bring to you. So again, we can't look at the world and the things in it, whether it be co-workers that entice us with jokes and tell us to come and have a good time with us at our barbecue. They'll be drinking and some other things going on, but you don't have to partake of that. We need to be careful. We need not to walk toward those things. Friends and loved ones also, that seem good or moral people, you know, just because they do good and moral things, you know, they may give us advice that leads us away from God. They may give us things that clearly we ought not to do. Take for instance, and maybe this is a loose application of what I'm talking about here, but in 1 Kings chapter 12, you have the story about Rehoboam being the king, and he's just now king, and he receives the royalty there from his father, and he's at a point to where Jeroboam and the people come to him and say, please be easy to us. Don't put on so much burden like your father and we'll serve you forever. But then Rehoboam, he doesn't, you know, he goes and considers what the older people, the elders of Israel say, and he takes that into consideration. But he goes again and he considers what the younger people who have no experience, no wisdom in handling such matters, and they give him such an impression so as to oppress the people. And to tax them, and my father was hard on you, but I'm going to be harder. We need to be careful about where we go and what direction we take in this life. We don't need to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Take the next part there. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Well, when you go and you walk to a certain place and you're at that place where you want to go, guess what you're doing? You're standing there. You are stopped there. You're at your destination. We need to be careful about receiving ourselves at that point. Normally when you're at your destination and you're standing right in the place where you're walking to when you go, you're right in the middle of it. And where this talks about, don't stand in the path of sinners. Sometimes we don't find ourselves in that path until we're right smack dab in the middle of it. But I'm going to back up a step and say, don't even walk that way. Just as Psalms here 1, chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in that counsel of the ungodly. Don't even go in that direction. If you go, sometimes you'll get lost in it. And when you're lost in it, you're going to be standing right in the middle sometimes, and you're going to wake up and realize, I don't need to be here. But God's wisdom tells us, don't be even to that point. If you go and you sin, if you walk in that direction, get out of it when you find yourself standing there. That's the blessing that comes from God, part of it, to reveal to us we ought not to be there. But again, there in that verse it says, blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the path of sinners. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, part of that wisdom that we're looking at would say, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Again, echoing here from Psalm chapter 1, exactly what the writers of Proverbs would say there. Don't even go in that path. Don't even enter. Don't even walk that way. Because once you've walked that way, you're going to find yourself on a path you don't want to go. Psalm 26, a little later from Psalm 1 that we're talking about. Psalm 26, 4 would say, I have not sat down with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with the hypocrites. The writer of Psalm there would say, I'm not going even in that direction. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to be with those hypocrites. If you consider this idea about not standing in the path of sinners, you know, our Lord is very clear on this, on talking about that path of sinners and where it is. He would say there in Matthew chapter 17, I think a verse we all know, broad is the way and the path that leads to destruction. I want to read that because there's more that says there than my paraphrase. Matthew chapter 7, though. In verse 13 there, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And it's sad to say, there are many who go in by that way and they don't realize it until they're at the point of destruction. Sometimes, however, they do get to that point where they say, what am I doing here? Why did I even come this way? Well, Psalms is urging you, don't even go that way. Don't even find yourself in that path. And the Lord, again, as well, is making it clear, I'm the way. I'm the only way, He says in John 14:6. And He says, this is the only way. And it's narrow. And the other ways, they're broad. Many go that way. But you who are wise, you who want to be blessed, go in through Me. Go in through the wisdom of God and what it drives you to, and the gospel of peace, and the gospel that has the power to save. But many people don't. Where is this path of sinners that we see in our life? You know, we've asked the question, where is it that the counsel of the ungodly appear? It appears in many ways. Well, the path of sinners. The actual idea there about sinner, the word there, really means a criminal, one accounted who is guilty or a sinner. We don't want to hang out with a criminal person. We don't want to hang out with a murderer or someone who's a thief, known to be a theft of many things throughout, you know, many years. We don't want to do that. But yet sometimes we get in that position. God's Word is urging us not to do that. God's Word is clear that those who enter this path, you're not going to be blessed. The next part of that verse there in chapter 1, verse 3, it says there, or chapter 1, verse 1, says there, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. When we're talking about the starting point being walking towards something that's sinful, and then eventually finding yourself in that path, the ultimate ruination is that you're sitting down right in the middle of what's going to destroy you and take away your blessings from God. That's a terrible point we don't want to be at, but that's the progression that I believe the writer of Psalm here in the first chapter is trying to tell us. You know, sin is a progression. And getting away from the blessing of God, you know, ultimately, if you find yourself sitting in the middle of sin, you're ruined. There in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, it would also speak about this. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 15. When you're talking about being seated in the seat of the scornful, there in Jeremiah 15:17, Jeremiah would say, I did not sit in the assembly of mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Companions sometimes do the worst harm to us imaginable. Now, ultimately, it's up to us, and we're our worst enemy at times, but those people that we associate with, where we know Scripture says, evil companions corrupt good morals, that's where the seat of the scornful is. Now, you take there the idea about someone who is scornful, they're a mocker. They're one who's going to scorn. They're really one who's going to reject and be divisive. Anything good or anything of somebody else, they're just going to completely mock it and talk about it badly. That should not be one of us. We should not want to take up someone in our companionship, somebody in our fellowship, our friendship, someone who is a mocker, someone who is a scorner. But that sometimes is where we find ourselves. Jeremiah made the point there, I didn't do that. I didn't sit in the assembly of the mockers. I didn't rejoice with them. I sat alone because of your hand. For you filled me with indignation. And that indignation was at those who mocked, those who ridiculed, those who scorned. And Jeremiah just said, I'm not going to have any part in it. I'm not going to sit with those. I'm not going to rejoice in it. I'm going to sit alone if I have to because I don't want to be in their company. Brethren, that has to be our mindset sometimes. Sometimes we have to give up. And even the Lord's calling at one point would say, he who that is not willing to give up worldly relationships is not worthy to be my disciple. That's the blessed part. When we're at a point to where we see, if I go this route, if I continue on this path, I'm going to be sitting down with those who work against God. And I don't want to be on that path. Friends, companions, acquaintances, and sometimes even family members can drag you down to where you are sitting right in the lap of evil. But Psalms, it calls us in that first chapter to desire to be blessed, to desire to be one who doesn't walk in that path, who doesn't stand or sit down with the evil, and who doesn't make it a part of our life, for us to reject it, to come out of it. If you were going to turn back to Jeremiah, there he also mentions there before talking about in Jeremiah 17 about the one who rejects God's word. There in Jeremiah 17, he would say there in verse 5, Jeremiah 17, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited." Jeremiah, you wonder if he's looking back and thinking about this book of Psalms here that he might have had access to or not, but he certainly had the words of God that we have recorded for us today. He's talking about the complete opposite of that blessed man that we read about. He's talking completely in the opposite direction of the one who wants to be blessed, who desires to be blessed, and who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and doesn't stand in the path of sinners and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he's talking about there, as he says in verse 2 of Psalm, not Jeremiah, but the writer of Psalm, he'd say there, the man who wants to be blessed and is blessed, his delight, there in verse 2, is the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. That means this one is going to be trained, he's going to be skilled, he's going to be exercised, as Hebrews chapter 6 talks about. He's going to be one who handles rightly the Word of God. He's going to be one who puts it in front of him and doesn't let up and doesn't be one who focuses on that companionship of the evil, nor puts himself in that position to be in the seat of evil. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on this day and night. You know, that's God's desire anyway, isn't it, for His creation, that we look back and see from His Word, that His law, His Word, is written on our hearts from time to time. And I'll say it again, Jeremiah 31 speaks about that, about God writing His law on our hearts. He wants that to be in His people. He wants that to be there because He wants His people to be blessed, as Psalm 1 talks about. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 talks about His law was not written on fleshy tablets of stone, but on our fleshy tables of the heart. I think I said fleshy tablets. That's not what the verse says there. It says tablets of stone, but then it says, but His law should be written on the fleshy tables of our heart. That's where God wants His Word to be, and that's where the one who wants to be blessed by God and seeks out His blessing, that's where it will be. Because he meditates day and night, because he operates in every function of his life that he does, with the mindset that God's going to come first. And I need to find out what God's will is in my life. You know, later in Psalm 119, when we talk about the Word of God being a lamp to our feet and a guide to our path, or a guide to our feet and a lamp to our path, he talks about that there. It's because the one that has that is using God's Word in every instance. It directs him so that he doesn't even walk there to the counsel of the ungodly. He knows the counsel of God is where I need to go. That's the direction I need to walk in. Also, if he finds himself going in that direction and he errs, he can turn back. He knows the path that he needs to get on. He needs to get off that broad path and turn back to God. Or if he finds himself sitting in the seat of the scornful, immediately he'll get up and walk away, because that is not a place for a righteous man to be. That's what the Word of God directs us to be. That's what God's Word wants us to be. God's Word wants us to be blessed. And again, brethren, I submit to you there in Psalm chapter 1, it is no coincidence. That very first verse says, "Blessed is the man." Each one of us sitting here today, we want to be blessed. We want to have the blessings of the Almighty God. If it is that we believe in Him and know that He created us and that we dwell on this earth only but as a vapor, but He blesses us eternal life after this life's over. We want to seek after, we desire, we should crave that blessing from God. Let's make every effort to do that. first chapter of Psalm is instructing us. It's begging us. It's encouraging us and imploring us. Do that. Seek after God's blessings. When I read earlier, Jeremiah chapter 17, I wanted to get to chapter 3 here in Psalm chapter 1. Because Jeremiah 17 would go on to speak basically the same words here from chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, where it would say, "The one that is blessed, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." I want to be like that tree. I want to be rooted and in place, and unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, bearing fruit, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 would say. I want to be like that tree. And also like Jeremiah says there again in chapter 17, I want to read that. Because again, almost word for word, he's saying the same things there. Blessed, again there, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the years of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." That's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. And any time that I'm in a drought, I know I can depend on that river of water, because the river of water is the Lord Jesus Christ. It drives and it directs and it provides abundance for me being that tree, Jesus Christ Himself, and living in the counsel of God rather than the counsel of the wicked. And standing with God by the river of life, that is going to provide blessing. And being able to be seated and immovable and unshakable. God's Word is clear. Those who don't have God, they're like the chaff that the wind drives away there in verse 4. They're driven, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They're also unstable, as James 1 says. And they're tossed about. Let us not be that way. Let us desire to be that tree planted by the rivers of life. That's God's aim. That's God's goal with His Word. Don't reject it. Don't be one to scoff. Don't be one to mock. Don't be one to go along and say, "Well, you know, bits and pieces of God's Word, you know, I believe, but others, I think it was only relative." God's Word doesn't lend itself to being relative. God's Word wants to be at the center and in the heart of us. Let's believe every word and use it. Let it be our counsel. Let it be our guide. Let it be our companion. That's what it's trying to tell us here in Psalm chapter 1. Again, as I mentioned earlier there in verse 5, the ungodly, they shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? There in verse 4, they don't have a leg to stand on. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. I don't want to be shaky. I don't want to be doubtful about my life now or about my life to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about there can be no other foundation laid except that which is Jesus Christ. That needs to be our focus. That needs to be our drive. And that anchor that we talked about also in Hebrews chapter 6, that needs to be our anchor. That needs to be what plants us by those rivers of life. It says there in verse 6, the last thought I wanted to, part of the last couple of thoughts that I wanted to leave with you, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Again, going back to that first verse, blessed is the man who doesn't do those things against God's Word, against what God's Word drives at, and against what God's Word directs, where God wants us to be. Blessed is that man who doesn't work against that, who doesn't walk that way, nor stand that way, nor sit that way. Blessed is the man who's not led down those paths. Jesus Christ would say in John chapter 10, verse 14, "I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." That man who is blessed from God's Word, who obeys it, who doesn't reject it, who stands in it, he's going to be that righteous man. And the Lord's going to know his way, and he's going to know the Lord's way. And just as Jesus prayed in John chapter 16, they will be one with the Father. And the man who is grounded and planted by God, he'll know how to bear fruit. He'll know how to stand. He'll be unmovable. Let us be that way. And just as John chapter 10, verse 14 tells us there about what the Lord says, that He's the good shepherd, and He knows His sheep, and He's known by His sheep, I want to divert your last attention to some points about Psalm that we've been talking about, the book of Psalms. Chapter 22 talks about the point on the cross, and many points in Psalm, as a matter of fact, talk about and refer us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 22 talks about there, and Philip gave an excellent lesson on it, I believe Philip, not too long ago, about the Lord said, "Why have you forsaken me?" But if you go on to read Psalm chapter 22, you know the Lord is drawing all peoples, especially those listening to Him at that point, to Psalm chapter 22, because later on in Psalm chapter 22, it would say there, "You have helped me." God did not leave Jesus Christ alone, but even helped Him through that and would help us too, and does not lead us alone. Again, Psalm chapter 45, just referring to a few points that are part of many out of Psalm that would direct us to Christ. When it speaks about His throne, O God, is forever and ever, that's talking about Jesus Christ. The book of Psalms is trying to direct us to see into Jesus Christ and look to Him instead of walking to the world. It would say there in verse 6, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness. Then Your with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. All Your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made You glad. King's daughters are among Your honorable women, and Your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir." And again, Psalm chapter 110, when it makes mention about the Lord here, this is something we, I think, discussed out of Hebrews, but it's also in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen gives his defense. He would talk about King David. And he would say, when King David wrote this psalm, he was not talking about himself. He was talking about the Lord, his God. Psalm chapter 110 would say, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies." And so on there from 3, 4 down to the rest of the chapter, it's driving us to Jesus Christ. When you begin Psalm chapter 1, that book alone is trying to drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ when you put it end to end. So look at it from that perspective. Look at it that God is trying to dispense to us, that He's trying to tell us, be blessed. Don't be cursed. Don't be in the black area, but be in the white area. As so many times the world says, there is no black and white, there's only gray. No. You won't be blessed if you try to mix matters, if you try to say, my way is right and your way is right. Let's just agree to disagree. Let's study the Word of God and let's find out what it says individually, together, so that we don't find ourselves going down into the counsel of the ungodly, or in the path of sinners, or sitting with the scornful. Let's don't do that. Let's sit with God. Let's have God in our place and in our way, and let's seek His counsel. Because otherwise, we're not going to be blessed. If you are not a Christian, if you're not seeking through Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Father, there is no other way. There's no other way to get to Him. And I want to present that to you this morning. That there's nothing else that would drive you to that. God's Word is abundantly clear in Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. As a matter of fact, throughout God's Word as a whole, it's trying to get you to see that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and there is no other way but Him. And I hope what we studied this morning has encouraged us to that point. And now that we're at the conclusion of our lesson, that you'd consider, if you're not a Christian, why not make Him your counsel? Why not stand with Him, and why not sit down with Him and be like that tree that's planted by the waters, by the rivers of life? There's no other water. There's no other blessing. There's nothing else that can save you but Jesus Christ. Use these words that we've studied this morning. Be refreshed. I hope I've encouraged each one of us. If there's something that one of us is broken with, if we're torn with something that's weighing us down, we'd ask you to ask for prayers. We want to help you in any way. And we all have things that we deal from time to time on, but we want to help you in those ways. And certainly, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we want to help you with that. But if it is that you need to make something right or need the prayers for the brethren, we want to offer this point to you as we stand and sing.